Hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday, NFL trade deadline day. And we will keep you updated if anything happens here in the next hour through the trade deadline of 3 o'clock. But right now I'm going to talk a little racing with Bob Sargent, Track Enterprises, and the Fairground Speedway with the All-American 400. The 40th annual All-American 400 is coming up this weekend. It is a tradition, that is for sure. Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing really good. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. This one's fun. I mean, it is kind of the end of the season. The NASCAR season's done, but got the All-American, and I know you're going to have some big names running it. But coming up this weekend, the 7th through the 9th, it's going to be the super late models, the pro late models, the street stocks, all of that. And then, of course, the 40th running of the All-American 400. It is very, very special in the world of racing.
It is. You know, this is 40 years of doing this. And here at the Nashville, you know, it's just the Fairgrounds track is synonymous with a lot of things that have happened in racing history over the years. And, you know, by the likes of Darrell Waltrip and just all the drivers that have been through here. And we really have a big crop of drivers that race here now, whether it be the quarter mile, which will be Friday night, tight point battles there. And then, as you mentioned, we go on with the pros and the fours, four cylinders. We got street stocks, and then Sunday it all culminates with the All-American 400. It's a Stars super late models, and some of the bigger car counts that we've had in the modern times are going to be here this weekend. So, it's going to be a great weekend of racing.
Tickets for adults start at just $12. Seniors and military, $10. Kids 11 and under are free. Or you can just make it easy and get a 3-day ticket package for $50. Add the pit pass for $45. Under $100, you're in.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. You get a pit pass, you can go down right in with the cars where they're working on them and talk to the guys. But we're also having an autograph session on Sunday morning right before the race. The race starts at 1 p.m., so there'll be an autograph session. Country band playing, I mean, you name it, we've got it going on here. And you can come all 3 days, pick 2 days, or definitely don't miss at least one of the days. Saturday night will be good with the pros, but Sunday we have some, as you said, NASCAR drivers in it. Ty Majeski just went for the championship, and he was the champion last year. He'll be here racing, and Kevin Harvick's boy Keelan will be racing. So just a lot of different names will be here along with all our locals.
Yeah, and that's going to be cool. I mean, because if Keelan's going to be here, I would think there's a pretty good chance that Kevin's going to be here with him.
helping
his son out. But, you know, it's kind of cool to see the next generation start to come through. And, you know, Dawson Sutton's another one of those guys. It's a local guy that's been in the truck series that has been racing out there. I know that it's got to be cool to see the next generation.
It really is. I mean, we're fortunate to be able to look at this and have this many cars coming, so it's going to be very competitive. But, yeah, the names that are trying to make a break towards NASCAR, like you said, like Dawson and those guys. But, you know, even the younger ones that are racing here in the Legends and have aspirations of moving up, this is a great place to start. A lot of good things happen this track with the pit road and the way it's laid out that NASCAR keeps an eye on this thing. And you know what? It's just we're lucky to have the support we have in this area. You know, as you mentioned with Dawson and his father, Rackley Roofing, and, you know, our sponsors came on board for the race this weekend with Borchetta Bourbon and Curb Records, you know, and again, just nice place. It's cleaned up. The campus looks great around here, and we're ready to go.
Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway.racing is where you can go to get your tickets or call 615-254-1986. And, you know, you just kind of touched on it there, but there's obviously a lot of talk about the fairgrounds and what the future holds. This thing has been operational. You guys have done a great job there at the Fairgrounds Speedway and having events, and it all culminates with All-American 400. But people need to understand that. Like, come out and support this thing, and then who knows where it's going to go.
Well, you're right. I mean, we race 10 times a year, so pretty much all through the whole summer we've been having events, good crowds, good car counts, and this is kind of our Super Bowl of the year, you know, the All-American 400 weekend. So a lot of things planning already for 2026 and similar racing. Cars Tour's coming, opening here in March, and a lot of different types of racing, and then the All-American in 26. But, again, at its present time, we're going to have a great weekend this weekend, and over 200 cars expected total, so it's just a great spectacle here at the Nashville track.
How big is that to have the Cars Tour come through? Because obviously Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s involvement and Kevin Harvick's involvement, Dale Jr. has been very supportive of the fairgrounds. I know that's got to be a big deal.
It is. It is. It's April 11th. Everybody can mark their calendars, so we're looking forward to that. We've already announced that. We'll have an ARCA race here next year. And, again, all the quarter-mile guys do such a good job on this thing. So we were very fortunate to have a quarter-mile track inside the 5/8. If somebody hasn't been here yet, new to town, boy, we just encourage them to come on out and see what history is all about.
Bob, like I mentioned, Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway.race, you can get tickets there, or you can walk up to the box office, correct?
Plenty of tickets available, yes, sir.
Awesome. Bob, thanks so much for doing this. We love working with you, and we're excited about another great All-American 400 weekend.
Thank you.
That is Bob Sargent with Track Enterprises and the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. And one more time, Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway.racing. Go get your tickets, All-American 400 weekend. And I know a lot of y'all, we talk on Twitter and everything about the history of the fairgrounds. And, you know, it's near and dear to me and watching it continue to grow. And who knows what the future holds. But what Track Enterprises and those folks have done, Anthony and Bob, have done a great job running this place and excited about this weekend. So check it out, Nashville Fairgrounds, Speedway.racing, and the All-American 400 weekend coming up at the Nashville Fairgrounds. So looking at the NFL trade deadline, I have not seen anything, Dr. Crane, in the last few minutes, but it's under an hour now. Let's see, what does Shifty have now?
Looks
just
like the
Quinnen Williams.
I'm sorry, I would say the Jets looks like they're still trying to shop Breece Hall. Like they're asking for a third-round pick, but nothing more. And obviously nobody's making that phone call right now, unfortunately.
Jordan Schultz put out there, breaking Jets, Breece Hall wants to be traded, I'm told. He wants to be out. And then I laughed at Easton Freeze. Why? What happened? That's pretty good. I mean, it would be crazy to think of the Colts winning the Super Bowl, which I don't think they're going to do. But if they did, you know, with now Carly Ursay Gordon at the helm, I mean, how special that would be for the Ursay family. I don't think they're going to, because I don't trust Danny Dimes on a big run like that. But they are certainly going for it.
But the good thing is about Danny Dimes, if he tends to lean in the negative direction, you have Jonathan Taylor to rely on. Like, you have a solid run game, you can just say, hey, if Daniel Jones is not having a great game, give it to Jonathan Taylor. Have him run for 240.
Yeah. Well, he'll do that. I mean, he is fun. He is so fun. So, yeah. So, I haven't seen the Titans do anything to this point outside of, you know, what they did yesterday. And, I mean, look, the moves they have made have been fine. I mean, Draymond Jones to the Ravens for a conditional. And I think – did I see the terms on that that – let me see if I can find this. I should have had this pulled up earlier, but I believe the terms on that trade to get a fourth are actually pretty achievable.
Yes, they're two sacks on the season and the Ravens to reach the playoffs.
Yeah. So, I mean, if that happens, then, you know, they'd get a fourth,
and
which would be good.
Let's all remember the Ravens that have been injury riddled all season long. Once they get their players back, like, it's a double-edged sword, because either Draymond Jones gets a lot of snaps when he first takes the pads with the Ravens and he gets those two sacks immediately, or he's become second fiddle to whenever they have all their, you know, injury-riddled players coming back. Then he's more of a rotational player. Those opportunities tend to dwindle a little bit. So you just hope that he continues his hot streak of sacks that he had with the Titans right now into Baltimore in the next couple weeks.
Yep, 615-737-1025. What do you want to see the Titans do in the next 45 minutes? That's what I want to know. I think Tony Pollard needs to be traded. I would trade Jeffrey Simmons, but I think they missed the boat there. They need to trade Pollard, and then anything else is gravy. But Tony Pollard, to me, could get you something. I mean, if Breece Hall, if they're asking for a third for Breece Hall, could you not ask for a third or even a fourth for Tony Pollard?
I'd be okay with a fourth, too.
Yeah, I mean – get a top 100 pick. just that should happen. 615-737-1025. We'll discuss that much more. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Kenny Rogers on this trade deadline Tuesday. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Big Joe has gone to a speaking engagement, so Dr. Crane hanging out with us. DVD coming up in a few minutes. They'll have all the post-deadline stuff. So Jacoby Myers was traded for a fourth and a sixth to the Jags. So he comes into the division. There's a report the Chiefs are willing to go high as a fourth-round pick that conditionally can turn into a third pick with any trade. Call him. Mike, call home.
So they just want a trade to trade is what it sounds like.
They want a receiver.
Oh. Okay.
I think. Give him Ridley. I'm like, could you imagine they trade Ridley and get a third?
Take the money.
I'd be like, all right, you actually did something right. That's pretty good. So again, nothing. I have a feeling there is one more that's gonna come down the pike. I like the Rashid Shaheed trade with Seattle. That's a good piece for them. But I just have a feeling. So the Jets are going to get the higher of the two firsts that Dallas has. So either Dallas's original pick or the one from Green Bay in 2027. So that's
some ammunition.
Yeah. So there's about 42 minutes and 20 seconds till the deadline.
You're thinking the Titans have one more left in the chamber?
No, I don't think they're going to do anything else.
Oh.
They should, but I don't think they will. I have a feeling.
The thing that aggravates me the most, and it was what you read out earlier about the whole Mike Vrabel, New England Patriots thing. What if that's not just the Patriots? Like, if there are assets on this team to be offloaded, and Amy is just vetoing that because of XYZ of whatever Brinker says,
yeah,
or whatever. That's what bothers me.
Oh, I don't think this is what Brinker – I really think this is her. Like, I would not be shocked if they didn't get a call – about Jeffrey Simmons saying, like, hey, we'll give you a first and. I don't know what the and is, but a first and. And she goes, no. We're not trading him. Because, you know, it's like we should all listen to what they're saying when they're asked, like, who's got final say? And, like, well, we discuss it with everybody. Amy's got final say. Amy's vetoing trades. And I bet it all goes back to one place. She was a part of that, but I bet that's where it all goes back to, of A.J. Brown. But, I mean, it just – this is – Tommy says, I want to see us trade Pollard, Chig, Spears, Snead, Hooker, Ridley, Moore, and Amy sell the damn team. Blow it up. Will from Antioch, my question is, who were the candidates that they interviewed for the head coach position last year when we hired Callahan? I can't remember. Aaron Glenn. I think Aaron Glenn – was one. I don't remember. Did they interview? Well, Art was still with the Falcons, so I don't remember.
I'm trying to look at it right now.
Or maybe they didn't. I think they did interview Art.
Maybe it was before
I think they
he
did
went
interview
to Pittsburgh.
Art. Yeah.
Yep.
I could be wrong. I don't know. I mean, I know Aaron Glenn. He was one.
Was Brian Flores one of them last year?
No. Who is the guy that was the OC with the Texans?
Bobby Slowick.
Yeah, yep. Bobby Slowick. He was.
I wanted to say Ben Johnson, but no, it was Bobby Slowick.
I think they did interview Ben Johnson. I could be wrong, but I think they did. I don't know. I mean, look, everybody that's any – like, if they do it right, anybody that's up for a head coaching job this year will probably interview. How serious it is, I don't know. But I don't know. I do like the Cowboys getting Quinnen Williams, though. But
still the secondary needs to be addressed.
Yeah. I mean, if only they had a really just great game-changing defensive player. I mean, I think Cowboys could be something.
The crazy thing about that, he still has his box in Cowboy Stadium, in Jerry's World.
Does he really?
Yeah, he said that was a part of his contract and that they would grandfather it in.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen in the next few minutes, even though I kind of believe that they won't they won't do anything else, but like, I hope I'm wrong.
Does Amy not see the big picture of this?
No.
Like, you need to offload the capital that you have that you think is useful to get rid of now, because whenever you bring in this next head coach, you need to see if they want to have people to bring in or not. Like, if you want to go to the draft and build through the draft, or if you're going to have $100+ million in the offseason and go grab 4 or 5 good players that may be good enough to change your team around for the next 2 to 3 years. Because as of right now, you don't have none of that, and you don't want to do none of that. It's being stubborn-headed, and it's aggravating. I'm going to hold my tongue.
Yeah, but you're right. But, I mean, I just think – I don't know if she thinks that what's on the roster can be made good. Like, if she truly believes that, or if it's just like, I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know what else she thinks.
Because they're stuck with contracts.
Sure.
Big contracts.
But they're going to have like 100-something million in cap space. Like, they'll have room to do things. But again, the way to winning is not building through free agency. It's building through the draft and supplementing with free agency. It's great to have cap space. Because let's say that give me a top-tier wide receiver.
Garrett Wilson?
Let's say Garrett Wilson's out there. Okay. You could do something there. You have the room to do it. That you got to pay a guy. But you got to be smart in that. Like, the Snead trade was not smart, and paying him all that money, that was not smart. Ridley was not smart. You know, at the time, it was kind of like, well, you got to – if you're going to be in the game, but I think we all thought they were going to be better than they were, and they weren't.
Very true. I look at the whole Amy thing as if you're a manager and an owner of a team, and you're in the Titans situation, she's probably thinking, oh, we're going to have $100+ million. Let's just go throw that money to them, like you're talking about, a marquee name that's going to bring in tickets. Well, guess what? This fan base could give two you-know-whats about that. They don't care. They want a winning product. They don't want a game-changing player to bring in to buy all of his jerseys at the pro shop. It's not going to happen anymore. I'm sorry.
Here's a hypothetical that won't happen. But, like, what is – hang on. Let me look something up real quick. How you doing? You good?
Fantastic. As long as I don't think about the Titans, because blood pressure is going up.
Yeah, yeah. I feel that. Okay, so George Pickens is going to be an unrestricted free agent after this year. He's balling out with the Cowboys. The Cowboys really should re-sign him. He's going to be 25 years old. He is in his prime. That's what I'm talking about, like, of why it's good to have the cap space. You still got to build through the draft. You got Io Manor, you got DK. They need to draft somebody. And if they do that and they have these draft picks and then they decide they want to go sign, I'm not saying go sign George Pickens. I'm saying of that ilk, of that, you know, a comparable
kind
of
that
thing.
That same player, yeah.
That's why that cap room is good. But you can't build by signing somebody like George Pickens. You've got to do it through the draft. And that's what I think she doesn't understand.
I agree. She's all hung
like
up.
Now, running back? Okay, yeah, you can go get a running back. Like, running backs grow on trees. Now, not Derrick Henry, but you can go get a running back. Whatever. That's not a big deal. But I just think they're going to end up going about this like they kind of did 2 years ago where, oh, we got all this cap room. Let's just spin. And we can fix this and use our draft picks or whatever. And it ain't going to work.
Correct me if I'm wrong, if my memory serves me right. Wasn't the year they signed Harold Landry, they had like over $100+ million in cap space?
I think so.
Something like that. And they somehow, I don't want to say botched that opportunity, but they didn't capitalize off that opportunity. Like, they did. They solidified Harold Landry, all the above, but they didn't supplement in free agency like we all thought they would.
Right.
That's just my big issue.
Ian Rappaport, the Commanders are signing wide receiver Treylon Burks to their 53-man roster after originally signing him to the practice squad. I guess he was elevated last week, and now they have signed him on. One catch for 14 yards.
Could you imagine?
Good for him.
Yeah, seriously. Second start somewhere else. Marcus Mariota and Treylon Burks.
Yes.
Could you imagine?
The Titans rejects. That's what they are. They are the Washington Titans rejects. Good times. So, again, I'm kind of surprised there hasn't been a trade yet. I'm waiting for another one. Another one. But, yeah, I just, man, a first and a second. And Mozzie Smith, whoever that is. But for Quinnen Williams. Coming up next, we'll talk some hoops. Nick McDevitt, MTSU basketball coach, going to join us. Coming up, Chasing Big Joe.
Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, the game on this Tuesday.
It all gets started tomorrow night, or tomorrow morning, I should say, at the Murphy Center at MTSU as MTSU takes on Milligan. We say hello to Nick McDevitt, the head coach of the Blue Raiders. What's up, Coach? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm excited to get things going again. You start it tomorrow morning. It's an early one, but, you know, maybe kids get out of class and can come watch you guys play.
Well, there's for sure going to be a lot of kids from around the area out of class. Tomorrow is our annual Education Day game, so we'll have about 7,000 or 8,000 young ones in the stands tomorrow, so it should be a loud morning for sure.
What do you want to see? This is a Big Joe type question, but what do you want to see out of the first 5 minutes from your team?
Well, you just want to make sure that we're working on and getting better at the things that we've been doing and emphasizing since we got together back in June. It's obviously you'll have some first regular season game jitters. It's an early game. It's different than all of our other games because of the type of day that it is, being a 10:30 a.m. tip, and you've got, 8,000 fourth and fifth graders from around the area in the stands. But at the same time, you got to stay locked in as to what you're trying to get done, what you're trying to accomplish, what are your season goals, your team goals, game in and game out, regardless of tip time and competition and those kind of things. You want to make sure that what you're doing tomorrow leads to getting better as you go forward.
I know this is a crazy statement in today's college athletics, but you do have several transfers that have come in here. Honk, have you heard that before? But I feel like you guys have done a really good job with that. You do have some returning players as well that you kind of have that mix. So how does that work for you?
Yeah, that's really the challenge for everybody, given modern-day college athletics. You know, we've got 15 guys on the roster. 6 were here last year and 9 newcomers. So the challenge is always having, in my opinion, is having enough veteran players to where you're not trying to teach every detail of everyday life, whether it's on-court, off-court, the way we do things in the classroom, in the community, that you're not trying to teach it new to every single person. So we've got a good nucleus of returning guys and Chris Loof and Torrey Austin, Kamari Lands, Trey Green, guys that have been in our program for several years, along with Jared Hall and Alec Oglesby. And they've been able to really help us with the newcomers. And that's the deal where you want to have some guys that are coming in and are willing to be coached, willing to learn from whether it's from the coaching staff or their teammates. And we like the group that we've got, and I feel like had a productive summer and a good preseason so far.
Am I right in saying that Jax Howard's your only true freshman?
We have two true freshmen,
okay.
And he is one of them. Yep, Jax Howard and Luka Jovanovic from Serbia is also a true freshman, big 6'10", 6'11", freshman from overseas.
I mean, what do you look for from those guys? Because, again, it's a different world, but you still want to recruit high schools and especially, in the state of Tennessee and Serbia, apparently, and but have those guys as a part of your team. So what do you look for from them?
Well, both have been great additions to our program, and you're right. We got one from, 20, 30 minutes down the road, and the other we went across the water to find him. So both are doing really well, and it's, life as a freshman college athlete is hard, but both are hard workers, and that's the thing that we've really been excited about. Both Jax and Luka is they came in understanding how hard that you have to work, and they came in shape, and so they've been able to. I don't want to use the term keep up, but sometimes you kind of think you're working hard when you're in high school because you're one of the best players in your area. Yeah, you're just bigger, faster, stronger, better than most of the guys at your high school or surrounding high schools. And then you get to college and you figure out, oh, my goodness, there's a different level to this now. And that learning curve, sometimes it takes a while. Those two young men have come in, and their work ethic is really good. They're both high character young men, and they've been great additions to our program.
Coach Nick McDevitt from MTSU is on the line with us. They tip things off against Milligan tomorrow at 10:30. You'll hear pregame at 10 on Total Hits 93.3 with Chip and company. But then games against Webster and Evansville, and then you go up to Michigan to take on the Wolverines. I know as a coach, like you have to look forward. Any non-conference game you're going to look forward to for that test, but especially playing a Big Ten team like Michigan, that's got to be a good test for your club.
Yeah, it'll be a really tough test. You know, the last night they had 69 points at halftime. And so that Michigan group is a really good team. They're big, and they're a team that can get to the Final Four. And, you know, when you get to the NCAA tournament, you're going to play some really good teams, you know, particularly when you're this day and age, you're not facing you're facing one of the teams that are on the one line, two line, three line, somebody that at least has a realistic chance of getting to the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, and Final Four. When you're playing caliber teams that are that good, you don't want to get in there and not have ever done it. And when you've played Michigan in the regular season, and then we've got Houston a few weeks after that. Another team that's preseason top five in the country, then you're facing teams that'll be similar to what you face when you get to the NCAA tournament. We want to get there and have a chance to get to the next round.
Even with today's landscape of college basketball, you know, one thing I do like about, you know, your program and others around the mid-state is you all try to play each other. And, you know, you're going to play Murray State in the Cayman Islands, which is, you know, not far away. Evansville is another one. Belmont, UAB. Why is it important to play some of these teams that are close by to show what the Middle Tennessee, Kentucky, the surrounding areas have in college basketball?
Well, I think it's fun, first for your players, because there's a lot of familiarity with each other. But also your fan base, your fans can go to the away games. Obviously, they may work with colleagues that went to some of those rival schools. And so I just think those games are fun for your community. Plus, it's easier on the travel. It's easier on your bodies. You're not in multiple airports, on multiple planes, multiple buses over the course of a couple of days going across the country to play. You know, we play Belmont, we eat pregame meal here on campus and get in the bus and go up there and play. And I'm sure Casey and his group does the same thing when they come down here. You know, to get to UAB's a, you know, 3-hour drive. Evansville's a 3-hour drive. So, you know, I just think the regional rivalries, the regional games, those are the ones that are fun, and we're going to try to keep them going.
How much, Coach, do you talk with your players about, you know, the goals of a team? And obviously everybody's goal is to win the championship and cut nets down in tournament time. But do you take it kind of step by step of, you know, as simple of, hey, let's win our first game and then go from there?
For sure. You know, I think you're trying to put together or lay out the season plan, but also take it step by step. We do it even in the game. You know, like we have 10 4-minute segments, and we talk about trying to win more segments than the opponent, and not looking at the final score, what the halftime score might be. Is let's just try to win this 4-minute segment. And when we come back to the huddle, we'll regroup, see what went well, what didn't go well, and we'll try to win that next 4-minute segment. Let's not try to win the season championship in the first half of tomorrow's game. You want to come out of it healthy and knowing more about your team than you did when it started. You know, I think that's the thing that you got to try to keep doing over the next several weeks and really months. You know, last night I was watching a little bit of the Houston-Lehigh game, and after the game, Kelvin Sampson saying about his team, you know, I think we got a chance to be a really good team. It just may not be this month. You know, and so he's even saying like, hey, we got stuff to do. Yes, we're a very talented and big group. We in the national championship game last year, but we got things we got to improve on, and we've got time to do it. But we're not going to be an elite group in the first week of the season. So You know, I think that's the challenge for everybody is you just keep getting better and hopefully you stay healthy and give yourself a chance to do that.
Well, isn't that just kind of a product, though, of where we are? Because, you know, yeah, like you mentioned, you have some guys coming back, but then you have a lot of new guys, too. So you do essentially have to kind of start over with the culture and all that stuff every year. And pretty much every program in the country has to do that.
That's right. That's right. And see, even two of our returning players, Alec Oglesby and Jared Hall, were limited last year for one reason or the other. So there's really only about three or four guys that have played for us. And so that's where, like, and Jared Hall is somebody that has moved positions as well, you know, playing more now at the five for us than at the forward spot. So even some of your returners have new roles. You got guys like Chris Loof, who's been a really good 12, 13, 14 minute backup center for us for the last 2 years, 1 year behind Jared Coleman-Jones, last year behind Isam Mustafa. And now you got to step into that starting center role. And that's just different. That requires a different level of commitment and sense of urgency and all those kind of things. So, you know, even for returners, it's new.
All right, before I let you go, you know, every time we talk, we got to talk a little racing. What'd you think about the championship?
Oh, man.
I think Denny should have won it, man.
Hamlin. I felt bad for him. You know, he obviously got number 60, which was a big win for him. But when you got a 3 second lead with about four or five to go, it's in the bag. You just got to be praying no caution. And unfortunately for him, and unfortunately for William Byron, the caution came out and, man, he was kind of in a tough spot right there. Obviously, Kyle Larson went on to win it, but I felt for him. I'm not a huge Denny fan, but I felt for him on that one.
I feel like that's what everybody has said, though. I'm not a huge fan of his, but, like, he should have won it, and I feel bad. Like, I feel like that is how every NASCAR fan feels.
Yeah, I mean, he said it best, man. Like, if you can't win this one, I don't know which one you can.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a great car, was up front all day, and like we said, had a huge lead with just a few laps to go. That one was over, had the caution not come out.
Coach, good luck tomorrow, and good luck for the season. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Coach Nick McDevitt, the head coach of the Blue Raiders. They tip things off tomorrow at 10:30 at the Murphy Center down there in Murfreesboro. And, of course, coverage on 93.3 FM starting at 10 o'clock. We'll come back with what day is it and celebrity birthdays and any updates on the trade deadline next. Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday. It is trade deadline day. And so far have not seen anything as the deadline is about 10 minutes away. So we'll see if anything else happens, but I don't foresee it at this point. Chase McCabe and Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, with you. I'm trying to read and talk at the same time,
okay.
Which is
happens
never good. We're going to have intern Jake hang out and do birthdays. So with that, let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays.
All right. First on the list we have, this is odd, National Chicken Lady Day. It's showing a picture
okay.
of chicken wings, but whatever. National Candy Day. I believe that is where you get all your Halloween candy, 50% off, 80% off at your local department stores. King Tut Day is today.
Easy.
Yeah, I know. Ooh, oh, boy. Election Day. National Easy Bake Oven Day. All right. National Skeptics Day. National Waiting for the Barbarians Day. Skeptics Day internationally. Okay, it's national and international. Cool. And last but not least, use your common sense day, which should be used
man,
a lot
more. Oh, man, we need that. We need everybody to do that.
That is all I got.
All right, with that, let's get to celebrity birthdays. Are you ready, Jakey baby?
Definitely.
Okay, all right, we're going to bring Jake in here, and this is going to be fun. Jake, you will go first. How old is comedian Kathy Griffin today?
68.
64.
65, point for Dr. Crane. Dr. Crane, you'll go first. How old is TV host, the host of Survivor, Jeff Probst?
44.
67.
64. All right. Dr. Crane still leads 1-0. How old is the Karate Kid, Ralph Macchio.
That guy's an ageless wonder. I'm going to go 63.
55.
Point Dr. Crane. He's 64. Dr. Crane leads 2-0. All right, all right, all right. How old is Matthew McConaughey, Jake?
63.
58.
All right, the point for Dr. Crane, 56. Paint in the outside corner. Dr. Crane up 3-0. Let's look at some others here. Hang on. Country singer Kim Forster of the Forster Sisters.
Not sure. 69, I guess.
73.
65. Let's see. Maybe don't do that one. let's see. TV personality Bethany Frankel of Bethany and Real Housewives of New York.
58. 70. 55.
Actor Anthony Ruvivar of the Avengers, Marvel Avengers Ensemble and Third Watch.
50. 58. 55.
So close. Dr. Crane still leads 3-0. These are great. Celebrity chef Curtis Stone is how old, Dr. Crane?
I'm going to go with 67.
63.
50. Good job. Let's see. Okay, that's it for that. Let's try some sports birthdays. I couldn't break these down like Big Joe does, but I got a few here. How old is Brentwood's very own and Bills tight end Dawson Knox, Dr. Crane?
Ooh, he's got to be around my age. I'm going to go 28.
29.
He is 29 exactly. Jake is on the board. 3-2. All right, we got some more. Hang on. How old is former Steelers and Cowboys wide receiver Ryan Switzer?
35.
38.
31. So close. All right. Hang on. How is current Patriots and former Titans tight end Austin Hooper?
Oh, boy. Austin Hooper is 32.
30.
That's a push. 31. Well done. All right. Let's see. A couple more here. Trying to find some more. How you doing? You good? All right, great. Here's the one I was looking for. How old is, Dr. Crane, you go first. How old is Hall of Famer Devin Hester?
Oh, Devin Hester. He's in his mid-50s. Got to be like 53?
47.
Oh, so close. 43. How old is, played with... Mike Vrabel and Tom Brady, Vince Wilfork. Jake.
39.
Vince Wilfork is 42.
That's a point. 44. So you're up. I've lost count. You're up 4-2. Yeah, that's right. You. All right. One more. Let's see. Let's find somebody. Maybe. Yeah, this is great. Good times. I had another one and I just lost it. This is riveting. All right. How is baseball player Chi Wei Yu?
Chi Wei is 53.
58.
32. That'll do it for celebrity birthdays. Dr. Crane wins 4-2. Good job, Dr. Crane. Good job, Jake.
Very good job.
Well done on your debut.
Just happy I got one.
Yeah, you were good. That was well done. That is going to do it for us. DVD is coming up next. As we always tell you, guys, we want you here. Girls, we want you here. If you need to reach out, just go to our to thegamenashville.com and the Chasing Big Joe page, and you can find the link to Unity Psych, or just go to unitypsychiatrist.com/Big Joe. Call 988 on your cell phone. But we want you here because we love you, and as Joe always says, more importantly, God loves you. I always say peace, love, rock and roll. DVD is next.